really know what your strengths are and what you're good at. And if there are areas that you are lacking, be aware of that and actively take courses or learn it.
Lindsay Phillips is a serial entrepreneur, podcast host, and CEO who has explored multiple careers. She's naturally driven and a self-confessed organizational freak who has never had an issue chasing down success. But what about balancing it all? And by it all, we mean work, a family, an income, personal happiness, and everything that goes into living a fulfilled life. This is Everything Speaks.
Hi, everybody. It's Lee Carraher, and this is Everything Speaks. And today I have Lindsay Phillips with us. Lindsay is a serial entrepreneur. She's a self-professed organizational freak. I already know you're going to love her. Clients appointed taskmaster plus project ninja and warrior content marketer for life and business coaches, accountants, and other online entrepreneurs across the globe. She's a CEO and founder of Smooth Sailing Business Growth. She leads a rockstar team to support entrepreneurs who are seeking fast-paced business growth but finally have come to the realization that they can't do it alone, do it all, and do it well. She also hosts her own podcast, Sailing to Success. So I'm excited to have Lindsay with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you betcha. I love chatting to people in the different parts of the world and talking entrepreneur stuff. And yeah, it's all good.
So I'm super excited to talk with you today for sort of two reasons. Well, lots of reasons, but two main reasons. One is sort of to understand how you got from where, you know, out of high school to where you are today, and how you decided to do this work, given the dynamics. And then in the back half, I would like to hear about sort of what you've learned along the way and any recommendations you have for people who are considering becoming freelancers or considering becoming virtual assistants in their work to assist, you know, how do they create businesses that are profitable, sustain you, and all that kind of stuff. So let's just dive right in. Tell us how you got from where you were to where you are now in terms of starting your own company.
It feels like two lifetimes ago, I swear to God. It's like, and when people ask me, you know, what did you take in university? And I tell them and they're like, what? So I took history and fine art history.
You know, and then, I have to interrupt
you. Right? It's like, what?
I'm an evil history major. So I are going to have some mead sometime and have some. Anyway, sorry, interrupted.
Awesome. Mead, yes. And then I took museum management and curatorship in grad school and worked in the, you know, museum arts industry for a while, moved out west to BC in Canada. And I didn't like where I was at. I wasn't into the business anymore. And then I got asked to help a company out that was in interior design. And then we went on our own and had our own interior design business. And I learned everything in there. And then I got into the car business. Talk about completely unrelated, right?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. My past is so weird. And then managed a company that exported vehicles to the States. Mm-hmm. So then me and a couple of partners, we went on our own and did it ourselves. So we exported, you know, had clients that were wholesalers. So worked with US DOT, US Customs, NHTSA, like the whole kit and caboodle. And then I moved back to Ontario to have an Ontario office. We had a Vancouver office, a Calgary office and stuff. And then the dollar completely like went kaput. And then I got married and had kids. And then I just had like a regular part-time job while I was home with the kids. And And then I was, you know, because I thought, oh, the stress of owning a business and it was too much and I just want to work for someone. And that was fine for the time. But then after I had my second child, I was working part time at a publishing company making, get this, a whopping $11 to $14 an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? And then I'm like, something's gotta change. I'm like, first of all, I just wasn't cutting it. And I knew, like, I'm smart. I've had my own business. Like, and I don't know, that spark or that ambition just came back, you know?
And how old were your kids when you had that revolution?
Yeah, Tyler was 4 to 5, and Emily was like 6 months to 18 months, kind of like within that time frame, mm-hmm. so pretty small. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to, you know, I'm sure other moms out there can relate. It's like juggling the daycare and the, yeah. you know, how much money you pay out for daycare.
Right.
Just, you know, being home. And so I wanted, as the kids were going into school and stuff, I'm like, okay, this is my time. And I want to be able to work from home and be home for them if they're sick and not mm-hmm. worry about PA days and just having that lifestyle mm-hmm. and God, making more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I researched and knew some people that were, you know, in the VA sphere. And so I asked more questions and eventually I started to work, for them, like on my own time. So then I was, had a part-time job. I had the kids. I was doing this at the same time. And it was like, I was burning the candles at both ends. My mm-hmm. husband's like, are you on the freaking computer again?
Right.
and I just like, you know, I mean, I got a client, I started my own website and just figured it out and loved just online marketing and soaked it up. I was taking courses, mm-hmm. Networking with people. And I just made that decision. It's like, I'm either in or I'm not. So I mm-hmm. quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, I don't know, as I did that, it's like referrals and the networking was working and it just organically grew. It's like it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. And how long has it been since you quit that part-time job?
That is a good question. I'm so bad with my memory. But I'm thinking Emily was, I know you gauge it by how old your kids
so
are,
so true.
Right? So Emily was probably maybe, it's been about five years.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And can I just ask how old you are now?
46. I had kids late in life and got married later.
So, thank you for sharing. I'm 53, just so we shared. Okay. So, that is so awesome. And I just want to unpack that for a while. So, for Lindsay is a Gen Xer. And in Canada and the United States, there are definitely nuances between the generalizations of the different generations. However, they're generally the same for North America, English-speaking North America, or I guess French-speaking North America too.
yeah, that's a little bit of Canada, yeah.
But I think that there's something that I just think your career to date has so many lessons in it. So let's just unpack that for a second. One, you have had 5 careers and you're 46.
Ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. This is my point, right? My point is actually more millennials, the people who are under 36 years old, believe and want to not have, they can't imagine having one career for their whole lives. They can't imagine being captured in one thing their whole career.
Right.
And, you know, and there are lots of people, and you're an excellent example of this, right? So you studied in college, you've got something that was related to it. I never did. And, you know, and then that, you know, I'm sure you're still interested in history and art, but it doesn't consume your day.
Doesn't go away. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 3 careers, then you moved, and then you built a company, and then you're off opening offices, and then you moved back to home, it sounds like, got mm-hmm. married, and had children. And this is an agonizing point for so many young women, like, when am I going to have kids? Do I have to step out of my career? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And really, what we're talking about is you kept your foot in the game, which is important. I think it's important, but
I
you really
so
took
too.
A pause, right? You took a pause on sort of the career building
mm-hmm.
in order to keep, one, you had some income, two, it kept your mind going because having been home with 2 young children, it's a little
oh,
mushy,
yeah.
right?
And just actually like talk to adults, right?
Exactly. you kept fresh because in that period of time, things changed, how the world worked
yeah,
changed
oh my God.
During that period of time. And you were able to support your family the way that made a lot of sense. And then it sounds like when your youngest child was 18, 24 months in there, that's actually when kids change more. They're more independent. You don't have
yeah.
to, you know, feed them every by them, you know, all those kinds of things.
I know.
And then so as their lives are getting more manageable, frankly. You're like, okay, I got this under, and then, all right, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to change. You looked at the thing and said, I'm going to change what's going on here. VA is virtual assistant world, for those of you who don't know. And can you just describe what a virtual assistant is, just so everyone knows what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole topic on its own. But yeah, virtual assistant, to me, again, everyone thinks something different, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, it's someone that's online, not necessarily in your office, that they're working on administrative tasks or things that go on behind the scenes or accounting or web work or, again, very part-time. Whatever work needs to get done, they do. There's no set contract on how many hours they get or...
Right. But you weren't an employee of the work
correct.
You were doing, correct?
Exactly, contracted. Yeah.
And did you do a virtual assistant through a platform like Upwork or Fiverr?
Or didn't, oddly enough. I've never done that. I've found some of my team members that way.
Okay, awesome. But, so that's good.
Yeah.
So then you found this VA. You had friends in the VA. You started networking. So you started networking out of not from your past, but where you wanted to go. Right.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
That's really super important. And then had two, you know, started two things at the same time. And that is also super important to talk about, right? You can't, I mean, it's very challenging to move directly from one to the other without a transition time because, particularly in VA land, you know, you have to get a good rep in virtual assistant world, or it's very challenging to find clients. And then, you know, your husband pushed you, but you're probably right there too, in terms of giving up the part-time job so you could focus on the one thing that would become more lucrative. And here you are 5 years later, with your own company, with a podcast, and with other people who are working for you. And now you've had 6 careers, right?
I know.
Six
and
careers.
I went from 11 to... $11 an hour to a six-figure business. So that's like...
So for those of you who are out there going, I just spoke with... in the last 2 weeks, I've spoken with two recent college graduates who have not yet landed, but who will. You know, they're super smart and they have a lot of gumption. But they're a bit paralyzed. Like, what if I make the wrong decision? What if... And I my recommendation to them, I was like, you can't make a bad decision on this.
No.
You can't. Because you can always move forward. You can move from something. And you're an excellent, excellent example of that. So thank you so much for sharing that. And you have children and you have a partner in life and. I have a personal thought about work-life balance. But I would love to hear your concept of work-life balance, given that of how you've chosen right now to own and be the CEO of this business and drive it forward.
I'm not going to lie. It's been it's had its ups and downs, right? And I've had like a couple of breakdowns along the way, or it's like I'm completely burning the candle, or like my husband's not happy with me because I'm like always working, or... I mean, it's not like I've had this, you know, beautiful plan to make that work-life balance since the beginning by any stretch. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like you have to do what you need to do to get things done and move ahead. So I've like had to work like a dog. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once I finally got some team members, that was a big crux for me. It's like getting a team and people to do the stuff, but then there's like, what about the training of them and the time involved for that and the pro? And it's like, whole, like your brain could explode, really. And so I just like, honestly, it was out of necessity. It's like, I have to figure this out or I'm going to lose my freaking mind. And just figuring it out. So now that it's like, you know, okay, I've got a team, I can, you know, delegate, I've got systems, I've got project management tools to help me with that. And now it's like I might work in an evening just because I feel like it. Like I'm just, you know, watching TV, I might as well. Or it's, you know, there's like a big deadline or something. So I don't work evenings anymore. I try to take parts of Friday off. Now I go to the gym, you know, almost every morning. So really I don't start work till 10. And that to myself is huge. I feel really blessed that I've gotten to that point. And it's funny, I was talking to, it was Kelly Roach. I don't know if you know her,
I do.
So I was talking to her at a mastermind event and she was at lunch and And she's like, oh, she takes Friday off, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, that would be so great. She's like, why don't you? All you have to do is tell your clients or whoever that, blah, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I have control over my day. Like, why don't I?
When you're the CEO, when you're in charge.
I know, right?
You do. Yeah.
A little light bulb went off, and I'm like, so I'm going to start going to the gym every morning, and I'll mm-hmm. just figure it out. And now that I go to the gym and make that time for myself, I feel so much more focused in the day.
Yeah.
I have so much more energy. I get more done in a shorter amount of time. I'm happier. My family is happier when I'm not like mm-hmm. on the computer all the time. So it's like even my business coach, I was going through a period where it was all like work, work, work. And it was like overwhelmed and so many changes. And he's like, you got to suck it up. Like, you're in the trenches right now and you'll get out of it eventually. But it's like, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yeah, good point.
Well, I think that, you know, it also sort of illustrates a couple other points. I mean, there are some people who would not thrive in that situation. They're not self-starters. They need more structure.
Yeah.
They'd prefer to work for somebody else so they don't have to go hustle for their own income.
Right.
In this country, taxes, all that kind of stuff.
Or
right.
Some people just don't have that tenacity, right? They're like, oh my God, I can't hack this, or I can't figure it out, or.
Which is fine, right?
Yeah.
It is fine. And then there are other people like yourself who, you know, what matters to me is, you know, income, the work that I'm doing every day, and that I can work from home and be at the gym at 10. But that means, because you have the only way you're allowed to do that in the world, right? For most mm-hmm. people, 99% of people, is if you A, deliver great work, B, have good processes and systems so that you're not killing yourself to deliver that great work, and then earn the reputation, right, for delivering things on time. Because mm-hmm. as a virtual assistant, as someone, and as a freelance content, you know, someone's counting on you to show up on a certain date with stuff, right? The first day you miss a deadline, you are eroding your reputation. You're eroding your company.
Yeah.
And those people who can, you know, arrange their days against deadlines of delivering work, but it doesn't really matter when they get the work done. Could be 2 o'clock in the morning, could be after 10 a.m., I think thinking about a freelance career, thinking about a virtual assistant career, that makes sense, right? Those people who are really struggle with that, really need more structure, this is not sort of the career for them. But I do think that millennials in general, we all need to be thinking about how could we take care of ourselves if our company didn't exist?
Yeah.
Because the economy has showed us that we should not count on, you know, the company we work for to carry us. Particularly if you work for a publicly traded company, you're not in control of of anything, right?
No.
But you are in control of yourself. And sort of thinking about how you could dive into virtual assistant land if you had to, right, is a good idea to do so that you can sustain yourself with or without a payroll job. So, you know, I think the whole definition of what is a career is right this moment changing so dramatically.
Absolutely.
The conversations I've had, some people are very excited about it. Other people are very paralyzed by that idea. And I sometimes struggle with, okay, if you're paralyzed by it, you know, how do you get past the paralysis to say, it doesn't matter what I do first. It matters that I do it well, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's having a preconceived idea as to what success is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think back to me growing up. It's like my dad was a police officer, like from when he was like 16 or whatever. So he was in the same police force for years when we moved to Canada from England. And then my mom had a job, the same company for years, had pensions, blah, blah, blah. So when they're like, for me, with all the changes that I've had, I felt like a failure kind of. Because I wasn't in that corporate job that had all the benefits, that was like I was in there forever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I kept changing. And so it's like I had that idea in my head that because I'm not in the same company for years, then I'm not really successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, But I think that's a benefit or a detraction of your generation, not of reality. Yeah.
No, I get that. You know? Yeah.
So let's take a moment and go to Millennial Minded, and then we'll be back with more from Lindsay Phillips.
Welcome to Millennial Minded. My name is Duncan.
And I am David.
And today we're going to talk about balance.
Yep.
That's the theme of the episode. And I'm going to start it off with a question for you, David.
Oh, sure.
Do you ever struggle with the whole work-life balance theme, or do you kick back and that's never a problem?
I just don't really try with anything. No, I do. I think I tend to, I'm going to lump like social stuff into the work thing because like I do a lot of theater, which will extend my quote unquote work day until 11.
I don't even think that's social. I think that's work. I mean, that's a side hustle a little bit.
Yeah.
It's part social, but.
Yeah. That extends my work day till 11 p.m. So.
Whoa.
Yeah, so like doing that and then, you know, just other different things that I'm working on and have going on, like that usually will get me I'm up at 7 and then I go until about 11. So
Mike, can I interrupt? I interrupt anyways.
You can interrupt anytime you want.
How do you determine at the point at which you need to take a rest day or take a break or say, you know what, I've had a long day. I think today I should maybe not go to theater, not be up till 11 p.m. working, and I'll take the afternoon off. I mean, do you do that or no?
I have to plan those days because I can't just not go to stuff.
Because there are people depending on you.
Right. Well, I know my body will daggum seize out, so I have to.
You incorporate that time?
I have my meds, and I have to, I have to be very in tune with my body, and I know what things. Like if I'm starting to feel a certain way, like I know that I'm getting to the end of my rope, and so I have to be mindful of that.
Here's my issue.
What about you?
Well, here's my issue. This is where I'm kind of zeroing in on something. Sometimes when that moment happens, when you're like, I need a rest, and you continue to push yourself, you can see great dividends. Not dividends. What's the word? You see
breakthroughs.
Breakthroughs. Those moments where you're like, I am exhausted. And yet you push through it, you get a lot out of that. I use working out as kind of like a metaphor for that. Those times when you're like, I don't feel like going for a run. And yet you do it because you know you need to do it. How do you distinguish between that and when your body is actually telling you and your mind is telling you, no, you need to rest or else you're going to wear yourself thin?
I think there's a difference between being physically exhausted and being mentally and like emotionally exhausted. Those two things
are more intertwined than you would think.
I'm sure they probably are, but for me, I'm more able to push myself through a physical exhaustion thing. If I'm feeling mentally and like creatively spent, if I'm feeling mentally and creatively spent, then I am like, I have a hard time pushing through that.
Yeah.
I need time to recharge.
Yeah.
Physically, I can push through, but that's not always the best thing because then I seize out. So,
oh, you actually do.
Oh, I really do. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually forgot that wasn't a joke.
No, like, I mean, you can laugh about it. I laugh about it. But
I'm not laughing.
I will. Yeah. So, but for me, like, I have like physical sensations that are like alert systems for me that I'm like, oh, crap.
Okay. Time
to chill out. Yeah.
If only I could have that for the mental side too. A little.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe you're not. Maybe you do though. You just need to be really in tune with your mental capacity to pick up on it.
Not one of the elite. One of the elite of us who has a deformity where they seize out. Sorry about that. Not part of the brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever.
All right, that's all for today.
Until next time.
Bye.
And we're back with Lindsay Phillips, who was talking about how her career and how it has wended and winded over time, ebbed and flowed to the point where now she is the CEO of Smooth Sailing Business Growth and is a content marketing expert that virtually, so she doesn't work, she's not an employee, that virtually works for companies around North America to provide their content marketing assets and strategy for growth. So let's talk about exactly what you do every day. Like, what is the work that your company provides, number one?
You bet. So we, again, focusing just on content marketing, on so blogs, video marketing, social media, obviously, podcast production, email marketing, but even so broad as sales funnels, lead magnets. I work with a lot of I don't do the Facebook ads myself, but I work in correlation with various partners, webinars, basically anything to attract your clients, to bring them into your sales funnel and convert them to a sale. So anything, all the content that gets put out there, we deal with the content creation, publishing, and promoting.
Great. And who are your clients?
They are, most of them are online entrepreneurs. Oddly enough, I have a lot in the tax accounting industry, a lot of coaches, you know, life coaches, business coaches. And I'm starting to get more and more that are in the sphere of real estate investing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, any entrepreneur that is emerging, you know what I mean? They're like a solopreneur. They might have a couple of team members that they work with. They need to grow and put all these pieces into place, and obviously they can't do it alone.
Right. And do you call your business, is it a consultancy or is it a virtual content team?
I've never really given myself a label. I don't know. I've used the term firm, like a content marketing firm. I'm not really...
Okay. But in the world, so these kinds of clients, these kind of clients you have, your onesie twosie kind of clients, you know, the competition is really on Upwork, on Fiverr, on the different, and there are different platforms in specific worlds, right? There's an accountancy one and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's entrepreneurs who can't do everything. They, you know, they've realized finally that they need to focus on what they're good at and outsource the stuff they're not good at. And that is a very competitive world, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who are now all over the world, right? We use a virtual assistant for this podcast who is in South Africa.
She
transcribes everything for us so that when we upload something, she gets the file and then she transcribes it for us. And when we get back in the morning, there it is. And then we can create all the words around it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, having someone halfway around the world is very, very helpful for us because, we would have to have someone stay overnight to get the thing done. Right. But it's a very competitive world, very, very competitive world. So in this very competitive world, but it can be obviously very lucrative, what would you recommend for people who are considering this?
To get into that business, you mean? To me, honestly, the biggest lesson I've had is a few things. One is really know what your strengths are and what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are areas that you are lacking, be aware of that and actively take courses or learn it.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to really, and I wish I had have learned this a little bit sooner, but really knowing what you like to do and what you don't like to do.
Yeah.
Because there are some tasks that you even take clients on or you take projects on that you're like, you're dragging your heels and it's not making you happy. And it's like, and finally, it's like, I'm like, okay, I need to be clear on what I want to do, what I don't do, and honestly, what types of projects are easier for me to scale my business, and which ones would drag me down time-wise, because I'm like, that doesn't make sense on a future growth scale.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what you're passionate about, what you're good at, that is huge. And then not being afraid to niche down. I mean, when I started out, again, it was more of like a VA firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we offer like, not to say anything and everything, but just about. And then I realized what I liked, what I didn't like, where my strengths were, as I started to learn more about, you know, XYZ, I was like, oh, I love this. And also what I was successful at for my clients. And a light bulb went off and I'm like, I need to niche down. I need to focus just on content marketing. Mm-hmm. And at first I was a little afraid, right? I'm like, I'm going to be cutting out a big chunk of business that's available to me.
Yeah.
The actual opposite is true.
Yeah.
Once I niched down what and got really clear as to what I was offering, I was able to create better systems and procedures. And I was more successful at becoming an expert in my field.
Yep.
And I had a massive flood of clients come in this short window of time. It was like, it's like the floodgates opened. It was so weird.
Yeah.
But it made me realize that, you know, any business out there, if you niche down, your path to success, I think, will be much quicker.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. What, so is that one of the first things, and would you say that was the key learning there, was like focus on what you like to do because you do it better. You wake up every day easier.
Hopefully.
What other lessons have you learned along the way that you could pass on to our listeners who are thinking about considering a freelance career or virtual assistant career?
I know a lot of people have had good success. And again, I found some of my team members this way, is hiremymom.com, Upworks. It's such a great way to get your foot in the door to do work for a team. And then it's like, even if that job is very specific, or task or whatever, you're going to learn other things by doing it that's going to grow your knowledge and experience base.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone starting off, you know, even if you're, honestly, one guy, he was just doing show notes for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, you know, and I'm just thinking about how he started off really. And he had a full-time job and wanted to get out of it. He's still on my team. He's awesome. And so he started doing working for me off Upworks. And he's like, hey, you know, I want to have a conversation with you about what else I know and how else I can maybe help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had this talk and I'm like, I didn't realize he had all these other skills.
Right.
So then, you know, I was giving him more stuff with my work and more client work. And now he's like, he's so good with tech and like figuring things out and video and... I just, when you're starting off, those little, even if you're just doing show notes for someone, it can turn into something else.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn more things and you can grow your business, even though you're just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then for me, it was great. It's like, you know, I hired him for one thing and now like he's an integral part of my team.
Yeah. What was your biggest mistake?
Not delegating sooner. I really put my toe in the water and just was nervous about managing people and also having other people not only do work for my company, like my own social media and what have you, but to lose a little bit of that control over my clients' work, that mm-hmm. freaked me out.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I'm not doing it, it's not going to get done. You know, the Lindsay
classic
way, right?
Entrepreneur problem.
I know. And yeah, once I kind of got into it more and honestly, you kind of touched upon this earlier with like systems and processes. That is the ultimate key to running a team.
Yeah. So true.
So yeah, I wish, and I'm still guilty, Lee. I still am doing stuff and I'm like, why am I doing this task?
Right,
I should pass it off to my team because I'm control freak, right? And I'm just a doer. I'm like, I take action like fiercely.
Right.
So I really have to catch myself sometimes.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think, you know, that's a classic, that's such a classic entrepreneur issue.
Totally.
And there is no entrepreneur out there who doesn't wish they didn't start delegating earlier. So if you're starting your own company, which obviously started mine, Lindsay started hers, you know, figure out what you're really good at and what you can do, but you're not that great at. And don't do the stuff that you're not great at. Focus where you are most valuable. And that'll be the way you can actually grow faster, right? Because there's no multiple in time. There's no way to increase time. The no. only way to increase time is to have more brains and more people who have time themselves on your task at hand. When I started Double Forte, you know, I know how to work Excel. I know how to do QuickBooks. I could do all that regression planning and all that kind of stuff. I hate it.
I know.
But I could do it, right? So, but, you know, that's not definitely not where I'm most valuable. I mean, no one ever pay me for that work, ever. So the first thing I did, I paid my accountant before I paid myself for 6 months. I didn't pay myself for 6 months. But I paid the people around us so that we could get to a point where, you know, we grew so much faster because I wasn't spending 8 hours instead of 3 hours on billing, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So there is no entrepreneur I've ever met who doesn't wish they didn't start delegating faster on that. Well, you've been so generous with your time, Lindsay. Say a quick word about your own podcast. What is your podcast about and where can they find it?
Sure. They can go to sailingtosuccesspodcast.com or obviously go to my site, smoothbusinessgrowth.com. It's on there as well. Sailing to Success Podcast. The goal for me for that podcast show is to inspire and motivate other entrepreneurs and also just give really practical tips and strategies to help grow their business and obviously share wisdom when it comes to online marketing. I've had so much fun doing it. And I honestly interview people that I not only like, but information that I want to know, and if I find like I want to know it, and sometimes I'm like frantically writing little notes afterwards. Great. I'm like, you know, it's like killing two birds with one stone. I'm learning myself, but that's I'm awesome. Serving my community, and it's that's so great. Much fun. I love it.
So I will put the link to Lindsay's show and to her business in the show notes page. So go on over to everythingspeaks.com and you will find those things. I highly recommend the podcast to you. I think there's lots of things, even if you're not an entrepreneur, there's lots of things around productivity and organization that can help anybody. What a joy talking with you, Lindsay. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your wisdom with us.
No, thank you. It was fun chatting with you.
All right, everybody. Until next time, I'm Lee Caraher, and this is Everything Speaks. Hi, it's Lee again. And before you go, I'd like to have you please go on over to iTunes and give us a rating. If you like our show and what we are giving you and the advice that we're bringing to you, if you could give us a rating, that helps other people find our show. A rating and a review would be really helpful. So thanks so much for listening. And if you could go on over to iTunes and give us a rating and a review, I'd be so appreciative.